Hello, 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 my most incredible RTK podcast family. How are you doing? Well, you know, I've been really thinking about what I wanted to talk about this week on my podcast. What would my listeners need to hear? And, you know, I really actually put in a whole lot of thought and prayer into these podcasts because I want you to grow. You know, I remember when I was walking through, man, 2006 was probably one of the hardest years of my life, and I needed answers. And I really honestly felt like I was fighting alone. I really did. I was, you know, divorce was just a really bad, bad thing to do back in 2006, especially in Christian homes. And man, I just felt so alone. I felt so, so defeated. I felt so ashamed. I felt prideful. I felt unworthy. And I think that, you know, this process, it took me 5 years. I remember telling God, I'll give you a year to heal me because I had to move back in with my mom and dad. And y'all, I was so full of pride. Like, I lived my life trying to prove literally that I was something. And, you know, a lot of you know my story. I was raised in a pastor's home and a very strict pastor's home where women couldn't cut their hair. And it was like just our church, our religion was going to heaven and everybody else was going to hell. And we couldn't watch TV. I remember, like, even when I was like 6 years old, 7 years old, I'd go home with these people on Sundays, and getting to go to someone's house on Sundays after church was like this really big deal. And so I would go to my friends' houses that their fathers weren't saved, and they would have TVs. And, you know, I was just, I loved going to their houses because I could sneak around and watch their one-eyed demon, their TV, you know? And I remember one time particularly, I went home with a friend from church and her dad wasn't saved. And we went to one of her brother's baseball games. And there was no clothes for me because my mom decided to let me go home with this girl without, you know, me bringing clothes. And so I had to wear her clothes. And so the mother put a sundress on me. And that night when I got home, I got in the tub and I had suntan marks, and I got a spanking for it. And I just remember, like, all my life being raised in this really strict religion. We got out, of course, when I was like, I think 16 years old. And then I was able to cut my hair, and we got a TV. I remember our first TV show I ever watched was Planet of the Apes. And we were on vacation in Helen. And I thought, oh my God, this was like the coolest thing ever. And so I was sitting here this week thinking about the things in my life that really frame my life, you know, which if you think back right now while you're listening to this, I bet you, you're thinking about things in your life that really were mile markers, you know, things that really cultivated who you are, things that made you an adult, you know, things that today, maybe it's things you're still dealing with that happened to you as a child. And you're not making the best decisions because you are still stuck at that seven-year-old that got so scarred when your parents walked through a divorce, or, you know, whatever. Life just has a way of molding us through our lives with decisions that were made for us or decisions that we made. And we've got to be so aware so that we can break the cycles off of our lives, you know, and man, we can become strong and we can become powerful and we can become incredible humans, incredible adults. And the one thing that I love about God and growing up and realizing, you know, that a lot, I could have continued on a crazy path and, you know, could have allowed at 36 years old when I walked through that divorce, I could have blamed my parents for it, or I could blame religion for it, or I could have blamed, you know, me being raised in such a strict religion that made me feel like I had to prove myself my whole life, prove that I was something, prove that I was somebody, step on people to get somewhere because I just wanted to become something. I wanted validation, you know, whatever. I could have really blamed other people, but thank God that somewhere between 36, 37, 38, I really hit rock bottom and found the rock who was at the bottom, which was Jesus. And I'm so thankful that I didn't abort the healing process, that I walked through the tough choices that I had to make for myself. I walked through those seasons where I was alone. I mean, people rode with me hard when I had money. People rode with me when I was somebody, you know, when I was singing on platforms or I was running a company, an interior design company. I was banking and making all this money. People definitely rode with me. But the minute I hit rock bottom and had to move back in with my mom and dad at 36, 37, 38, where did they go? They all abandoned ship. Now I look back and I realize that a lot of times when you walk through a divorce, people feel like they have to choose sides. And I get it. You know, I get it. And the older I've gotten, you know, I walked through it again 2 years ago and I realized that people chose sides. They had to. And a lot of times we get hurt and scarred in the midst of a divorce or in the midst of, you know, losing everything and having to relocate or whatever just to save our families. And people feel they have to choose sides. And you can't allow yourself to get stuck in those cycles. And that's what I had done. I'd gotten stuck in those cycles. And so I want to talk today about making hard decisions easier. That's what I want to talk about, because I believe a lot of times we stay stuck because we don't want to make hard decisions. And so I want to talk today about smart strategies for when you are struggling to basically make a choice. And I think this is going to really be revelatory to so many of you today, because now at 49 years old, I am very quick to make hard decisions. I am very quick to let my yes be yes and my no mean no. I am definitely not double-minded. And I'm thankful that I've gotten to this place in my life. And I'm not going to lie and say I found it at 38, because I didn't. Probably not until I was, every single day of my life I'm growing, y'all. Every day, my growth game is so strong, but I'm thankful that I can look back and I never, ever blame other people for where I am. I always take ownership of my life and realize that it doesn't matter what I'm going through, I hold the keys to my destiny, me and Jesus. Nobody else does. Nobody else can disqualify me. Nobody else can take away the call of God on my life. Nobody else. They may close doors in my life. People may choose to leave my life. People may choose to choose a side in my life. But nobody can disqualify me from what God is going to do in my life. Nobody. Nobody can stop my destiny but me and God. And God is a God of redemption. So today I want to talk about that. You know, really our entire lives are structured around making decisions. And every day, we make simple choices, like what to wear to work or what time to wake up. That don't cause much stress. Some of y'all it does. Some of y'all dress, try on 15 outfits before work. But a lot of times it's really not that much stress. Yet bigger decisions, ones that could really change our lives or impact the ones we love, y'all, can be a source of significant anxiety. We ask members, I go on social media a lot of times. I ask members of my RTK inner circle, my mentorship community. I'm constantly asking people to share their ideas or, you know, share how do they make big decisions? How do they choose after 20 years to finally say, I'm not fighting this relationship anymore? How did you overcome that addiction after 50 years? I'm always asking people questions because I love to see how people process things in their lives. And, you know, here are some things. I want to give y'all some tips of things I do at 49 years old to make decision-making easier. And I'm going to also throw in some ideas that other people have also told me that really made people that I really highly, highly respect, people that are multimillionaires, people that are crushing the game of life. I'm going to give you a way in because I took this poll with about five of my friends that I highly respect. And most of our choices were the same. Most of our decisions on how to make hard decisions are a lot. We all motivated and moved the same. Number one is follow your intuition. Follow your intuition. When we feel stuck or indecisive, it's typically because we are disconnected from ourselves, right? This past weekend, my son was getting married, and my son Lincoln goes to therapy a lot. Like, he just loves therapy. In fact, he wanted to marry his therapist at one point because he just loved her. But Lincoln really is in touch with himself, and he asked my son Morgan, that was getting married this week, how are you feeling? Because Morgan was a little, he was emotional, very emotional. And Morgan goes, I don't even know what I'm thinking. And so we were on the car coming home. Lincoln goes, he really needs to figure out himself. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Lincoln? He said he couldn't tell me what he was feeling. And a lot of times when you don't know how to explain your emotions, it's because you are disconnected from yourself, right? When faced with, I don't know what I'm feeling. I don't know what I'm going to do. We need, y'all listen to this. We need to take a time out and listen to the silent whispers of our souls. I do this every day. Every day when I get up, I spend a long time with God. And I will talk to God and say, God, speak to me. And then I will be quiet for 15 minutes. No music, nothing. I listen to my thoughts. You know how long it took me to finally get here? So you got to take a few deep breaths. You got to close your eyes. And you got to tap into your intuition. You got to run each choice through your mind and notice how your body responds. If you feel contracted or feel a pit in your stomach, that pit in your stomach, y'all, that is a clear no. If you feel contracted or you feel a pit in your stomach, that's your answer. No. If you feel fluttery, but expansive and excited, that's a yes. But you're just being stretched out of your comfort zone. So you got to go for it. How much easier is that? Like, some of y'all just like, oh my God, that's how you know? I look at this, the intuition is God. That intuition is God. But so often we try to over-explain it or we overthink it. But when you close your eyes and you run these choices through your mind, you have to notice how your body is responding. If you feel a pit in your stomach, that is a clear no. If you feel a fluttery or excitement, that is a yes. And you got to go for it. You got to just freaking go for it. Number two, you got to meditate, get quiet before the Lord, and listen to your inner wisdom. You got to listen to your inner wisdom. Whenever I have a very tough decision to make, y'all, I sit in the presence of God. I meditate on it first. I sit for 10, 15 minutes uninterrupted in my place where I like to just, I got a space with blankets and a candle, and I just breathe deeply, using my breath as an anchor to remain in the present in that moment. I don't got my phone around me. My phone is in another room. There's no interruption. I talk to God. I ask for guidance. You hear me? Guidance from that inner spirit. When I'm done, I journal any wisdom that I've received during that time. After I've decided on the decision, I ask myself if this is the answer that I would be proud to tell my family and friends. And then I know I've made the right decision. Now, there's some times that God is going to, you know, lead you in a direction. And it might not be so popular with your friends. It may not be popular with your family. You know, it may be a tough decision. Maybe you've been in a marriage for a long time, and in this marriage, you've protected your spouse, which was a total narcissistic, horrible human. But you were an enabler. And so maybe you were in a relationship where you made this person look like a god, but he was really a dog. God spelled backwards as dog. And now you're deciding, I ain't living with you no more. I'm not staying in this abusive relationship with you anymore. And you got to make up in your mind that I got to make this tough decision, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And it is what it is. And maybe that decision is not going to be popular, but whenever you ask the choices inside of you, that's what felt peace. It's what felt peaceful. Here's another thing that I do whenever I got to make a hard choice. You got to think about how your decision will make you feel, right? In my younger years, y'all, in my younger year decisions, they were much more spontaneous, you know, than they are at 49. Now I decide if the decisions fall in line with my values. How will this make me feel later or tomorrow? If I don't work out, or if I eat this, or I do this all the time. Y'all know how many times I lay in my bed at night and want to eat so bad I can't stand it. But y'all know I've decided 4 months ago to stop eating past usually 5 o'clock. It was 6 o'clock. Now it's up to 5 o'clock and usually up to 4 o'clock. I don't eat because I intermittent fast, and I've dropped 55 pounds doing that. But I have to make a decision in my head every single night. You know, I can't do this because tomorrow I'm going to really regret this. And so, you know, now at 49, I have to decide, you know, if the decisions that I'm making fall in line with my values. How is this going to make me feel tomorrow? If I don't work out, or if I eat this, or how am I going to feel later? Now decisions are not just about being in the present. They are also about how I want to feel after I make them, right? Some of y'all need to make some hard decisions, and you're going to feel so much better when you draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, it's like being at that job forever that you can't stand. You can't stand the job, but yet you've stayed there forever because you went to college for this degree, and this is the job you dreamed of, but yet you hate it with a passion. And you're making six figures, and it just doesn't make sense for you to leave. But every day you cry going to work and coming home, and you make a decision. I ain't staying here. I'd rather go work 3 or 4 jobs than have to stay at this job I hate, because peace is priceless. Now, when you go and announce, I'm not staying at this job anymore, there's going to be a lot of people with a lot of opinions. I remember, y'all, when I wanted to go full-time ministry at 40 years old. And that was when Obamacare just had hit the world. And, you know, it was so expensive to get insurance. And at Bloomingdale's, I got insurance. I never used it, ever, ever, never. I never used the insurance. But yet when I announced it to my family, you know, I'm going to quit Bloomingdale's and go full-time ministry, the first thing they said was, you can't do that. You've got to have insurance. And I remember I had to make up in my head, I'm doing this for me and not for them. And I know what God told me. And when God called me, he didn't call a conference call. He didn't call a conference call to get everyone in my family's permission. He told me. So, you know, sometimes you got to do what feels right in your gut, even when it don't feel right for the people around you. Okay. Here's another thing that you got to do. Here's another suggestion for making strong decisions, man. You got to ask yourself two important questions when making difficult decisions. You got to write a list of your pros versus the con list. I do this all the time. Here's my pros. Here's my con list. Except when they're not, you know, asking advice from a wise and objective friend, colleague, or a mentor. It's critical. You know, I do have people in my life that I do pass things by, but sometimes that doesn't help. right? And whenever I feel really, really stuck with no clear means of resolution, I ask myself two questions. Which choice do I want to make, and which choice am I trying to avoid making? These are my two important questions. Which choice do I want to make, and which choice am I trying to avoid making? So basically, the first exposes self-interest, which cannot be trusted. But the second reveals the voice of conscience, which is most likely a guide to a well-calibrated moral compass. So you got to ask yourself two questions. Which choice do I want to make, which a lot of times is our emotions, and which choice am I trying to avoid making? That one's usually the one that you need to make. All right? Here's another one. Avoid analyst paralysis. So with experience, making hard decisions gets a lot easier. So draw on your experiences and those from others, but ultimately, the decision rests on your shoulders. There is an army adage that says, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Trust in my gut feelings led to a lot of great, fast decisions in life. Analyst paralysis will limit your opportunities because you fear making the wrong choice. So you got to weigh your options. You got to pray. You got to follow your heart. You got to seek advice, but decide to act, period. So you got to weigh your options. You got to pray. You got to follow your heart. You got to seek advice. But the most important is you got to decide to act. No one gets anywhere meaningful just watching the river rush by from the banks. So you got to jump in. Hard decisions require guts and faith in yourself. So you got to avoid what ifs by pushing yourself. You hear me? You got to avoid what ifs by pushing yourself. No one advances without making mistakes. So you know what? Let go of fear and lead. God, that's so, so good. Avoid paralyzation of fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. You hear me? Lead, follow, and get out of the way. You got to move. You got to move, y'all. Here's another great one to write down for making tough decisions. Recognize your body's reactions. Really, when making tough decisions, the first step I take is to empty out my mind and I relax so that I can start with a clean and clear slate. So I allow this process to last for a few minutes, right? Next, I bring up the situation I need to resolve or make a decision about. Okay, so I bring it up, bring this situation up inside my heart, my head. I got to resolve it. I got to make some decisions. And I start to think of the scenario and the pros and the cons. And I believe in tuning into my body and my mind, my spirit, and how I react physically to the information that I am thinking about. I really try to base my decisions on what feels good and right by the way my body reacts. So your body has a way of knowing what your mind may not be able to understand sometimes. Like whenever I was making some decisions with my staff, I knew that I had this certain somebody that I needed to release that just wasn't, you know, a part of the vision. Just it was like we had two different, just this was about 2 years ago. And, you know, I just had to make the decision and I was afraid because I love hard and, you know, it wasn't personal, it was spiritual. And So I had to make up in my mind. I was praying about it, listening to it. And the more I thought about I could keep this person, I could release this person. When I thought about keeping this person, my body would tense up. When I thought about releasing this person, my body felt peaceful. So you got to look at situations like that. And, you know, that's part of putting yourself first and realizing that peace is priceless. You know, maybe it's releasing a marriage after 28 years, you know, and you think about fighting for this relationship and it just feels like I've done this for 28 years. I don't want to do it anymore. And the more you think about fighting for it and keeping the cycle going, your body stays tense. But the minute you think about the future without that person, your body's at peace. Well, there's your answer, right? Another thing that you can do is really consider the implications a year down the road. You know, when I struggle to make decisions and spend too much time worrying about whether I am making the right choice, I like to remember a question that my mom taught me when I was, just a teenager. My mother would always ask me, will it matter in a year's time? Will it matter in a year's time? Sometimes it's so easy to get caught up and make decisions far scarier than they really need to be. But asking myself this question reminds me that smaller decisions don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. So make them and move on. I remember about, in 2006, so probably about 2004, my marriage was of 18 years was really toxic, and it was a major cycle. Just a cycle, repeat cycle. I kept believing that it was going to change and it wasn't changing ever. I wanted to believe this person so much, and just the actions were not what the verbiage of the mouth was. And so I just kept staying in the cycle and crying, years and years. And I remember my mom called me one day and said, Kim, God wants me to ask you a question. Do you want this in 20 years? And I was like, dear God, no. And she said, well, God wants me to tell you it's not going to change. And I'm like, what? This person ain't never going to change. Because see, I was holding on to this person thinking this person was going to go back to when I first married them. So when I first married this person, we were in ministry. We were Christians. We were, you know, whatever. And something had happened and a light switch had gone off in this person. This person was everything but saved. And I kept wanting this person. I kept thinking this person was going to go back. And this person wasn't going back. You know, 10 years later. And so I didn't leave right away. It took me another 2 years to get the courage, but that was planted in my spirit. And sure enough, 20 years later now, and that person is still the same. Exact same. 20 years later, this person is the exact same person that he was when I left. And so look what God's done in my life. And if I would have stayed, I wouldn't be who I am today. So if I wouldn't have made that critical decision in 2006 to cry myself crazy for 2 years in desperation and heartbreak, but stay firm in my commitment that I don't want that in 20 years, I would still be back there not doing what God's called me to do now, struggling still. So this is why it's important to make strong decisions, y'all. Make scary decisions so you don't, 20 years down the road, wish to God you would have made that decision you knew you should have made. All right? Here's another great thing to write down when making a tough decision. Visualize the outcome. Visualize the outcome. You know, when choosing between two potential paths, look at both and consider, am I ready for the possible outcome of this path? If the answer is yes, you are prepared to make the decision. If the answer is no, you need more research. You need more prayer. You need to fast. Some things only come through fasting and prayer. You need more contemplation. One time I was sitting down talking to somebody, and this person was, you know, contemplating quitting her job. And she felt confident that when she gave her notice, they would beg her to stay and give her a raise. So basically, she was going to manipulate them. And I asked her, but what if they accept your resignation and send you packing? Are you ready to manipulate them? Are you ready to find another job? Are you ready to be unemployed for an unspecific amount of time? And she realized that she was not ready for each potential outcome. Therefore, she's not prepared to quit her job. And really, manipulation is never a good way. You never, ever, ever... I really believe with everything on the inside of me that, you know, I really believe there was a certain situation that happened in my life, and this person made a very quick haste decision trying to hurt me. And I remember this person was trying to hurt me, and this person really made a stupid move, and this person was really trying to manipulate me. And all I needed when this person manipulated me was that person to do exactly what that person did. And really, in reality, I was like, you will never be back in my life again. Because that person was trying to manipulate me. And really, all I needed was that person to make that move for me to finally close that door and never open it again. So a lot of times you got to make sure you got to check your motives. You got to check your motives before you make a decision. Make sure it is you're doing it for the right reasons. So also another thing I do is I use a 24-hour rule. So I'm a talker. Everybody knows I'm a talker. I need to talk through my decisions. So I talk things out, right? But I'm making a new rule for myself. I'm a talker, so I talk things out, but only 6 times. Hopefully it's 6 different trusted people that I talk to who get to hear the problem and offer input. If I'm truly stumped, I invoke the 24-hour rule and give myself permission to not mull over the issue and not to make any decision for 24 hours. It's amazing how many problems resolve on their own in 24 hours. My staff knows that. Valerie is my assistant. She knows. She tells all my staff. I got about 8 employees, and she tells all of them, if Kim says it, don't believe it. Give her 24 hours because I'm a talker. So I like to talk through things, right? And a lot of times it is more than 6 times. But that's also why I don't stay mad. I don't stay defeated. I don't stay angry, is because I do talk through situations. I talk through my feelings. I talk through. And so I believe that's why I forgive so quickly. I just move forward. I really talk things out, thankfully, and I don't hold on to things. I don't hold on to anger. I don't hold on to bitterness. So really talk it out's good. But usually 24 hours, I've got my answer and I'm good. Here's another thing that I do is before making a really, very big decision is I get some fresh air. I take a walk outside. If you can't get outside into the woods or outside in your neighborhood, which you can, all you gotta do is open the door. Fresh air and interaction with nature also will calm you down. So it makes you breathe. You walk outside and realize that God made the trees and the earth, and all of a sudden that thing that's really stressing you out ain't stressing you out no more, right? It helps you not think about the situation. And really, God has created us to be strong and courageous, and God's created us to make hard decisions. And so get outside, take your mind off of everything that's stressing you out and breathe, right? Another thing that I do in making decisions is I make a list. I make a list. There are so many benefits to knocking off to-dos off my list. I usually make the, because I'm the queen of making urgent things that aren't urgent. And so a long time ago, I stopped that. I make a list every day of things I've got to get done today. And then when I think of, I just want to go shopping today, I think, well, did you get everything that you had on your list? Did you get it off? Did you write it off? And y'all, when you make list, the Bible says in Habakkuk, write the vision and make it plain. And that's because when we don't make a list, we end up having our minds so full of clutter, and all of a sudden, we are full of madness and chaos and confusion and stress, and blah, 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 blah. We're just a mess. You ever been around those people that talk a million miles a minute and you're like, dear God, just breathe? Yeah, they ain't making their list. So a lot of urgent decisions will be made more clear making a list, and don't let yourself get so full of just blah. Here's the last thing I want to give you is give yourself the time you need. This is the last thing. Give yourself the time you need. When it comes to making important decisions, I make sure to give myself plenty of time and space to think through my options. You know, it may be helpful to even talk about them with I got three people I talk to, you know, usually really two. I talk to, you know, I got three people that I usually talk to, and they're my trusted friends, and my mom. I look at the pros and the cons of the different options and come to terms with what would be the best option. I also need to be comfortable with the consequences of my choices, you know, both good and bad. We can make decisions logically, but we can also make decisions based on what we feel is right. When in doubt, I follow what my heart tells me is the right thing to do. And once I make these decisions, y'all, I make it with a firm commitment, you know, because a lot of people are going to be like, oh my God, what are you going to do? You know, people that, gosh, y'all, I pastor a church alone. I've got great staff, but at the end of the day, I have to hear from God for our church, for my church, Limitless Church. I've got 1,000 people in my inner circle that I do life with literally every day. And I got to hear from God for them. I pray over them every day. My decisions are going to really, really affect all these people that God's trusted me with. And so at the end of the day, it's great to have input from other people. But at the end of the day, I got to know what God's telling me. And that's you too. I've got sons. I've got a mother I take care of. Right? I've got staff that I got to make sure I'm doing it right so that they keep jobs and they stay in an atmosphere where they feel excited to come to church and work. And I got to keep my fruit right. And so making strong decisions, every time I've ever made a decision off of the 12 things that I gave you today, I can honestly tell you in the end, God always showed out. Because at the end of the day, y'all, it ain't about how many scriptures you know. It ain't about how many scriptures you can quote. It is about your heart posture. God deals with the matter of the heart. Period. So how's your heart posture? And when your heart posture is right, God will help you navigate. But you have to make hard decisions in order to keep growing. Yesterday in my sermon, and you guys can go back and listen to my sermon from Sunday called Reckless Love. We uploaded it on Monday right here on my podcast. Every single Monday, my sermon from that Sunday is uploaded. You've got to go listen to that sermon because I talk about the chair. I took a children's chair from our nursery, and then I got a big chair from our sanctuary. And I talked about how we stay in that little chair because it's comfortable. We're not worried about rejection. We're not worried about loss. We're not worried about hurting people's feelings in this little chair because it's comfortable. But yet there's no space for us to grow when God has given us this big old chair called life. And he wants us to grow. He wants us to be game changers. He wants us to be nation shifters. He wants us to be purpose pushers. He wants us to be hell shakers. He wants us to be world shakers. But we can't do that as long as we've got ourselves in this little box. And guys, I'm going to be honest with you. People will put you in this box. And then if you dress it up and call it home, you'll never be happy. Because making tough decisions is not easy. And a lot of people go through their life. Every time I drive by a cemetery, I look at those plots and think about all those people that are all the dreams that are laying in those graves because people were afraid of making tough decisions. Today, if you don't like that job, begin to look for another job. Don't stay at a job you can't stand because you're afraid of not having money. Faith is not faith unless faith is all you've got. Today, I encourage you to finish that book. I encourage you to break ties with that relationship that's toxic. I encourage you to break those generational curses off of your life. You ain't got to be like your messed up family. You can change that. You don't have to be an alcoholic for the rest of your life because you've messed up 30 years of your life as an addict. Break those cycles today. The only reason people turn into addicts is because they hate to face the strong decisions they need to make. So they just numb themselves with something that alters their emotions. Stop it. Today, do hard things. Lord, I just thank you that you're giving my friends boldness today. Boldness to make tough decisions. Boldness to make strong, tough decisions. Boldness to say no. Boldness to say yes. Boldness to let their yes be yes and their no to me no. Boldness to realize that no is a complete sentence. Today, God, give us courage. Give our faith wings today. Let us be water walkers. Let us be faith walkers. Let us be faith magnets, favor magnets. Today, Lord, let us expand the horizon of our future. Today, let us make decisions that's going to impact our kids later in life. Let us step out of the box, start that business so our kids don't have to struggle for the rest of their lives. Lord, let us write that book so when we die, we still are here because our legacy continues in that book. Lord, I just thank you today that we're not scaredy cats. We are moving higher and higher. And we're going to look back in a year and be so thankful that we finally said no to some things that were not growing us. And we said yes to some things that scared the hell out of us. Lord, give us that, oh, hell no moment so that we can rise higher in the name of Jesus. So today we're going to tell hell to shut up and we're moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Guys, I love you so much. Thank you for sharing this podcast with someone you love. You can go follow me on all of my social media platforms. I'm Real Talk Kim on everything. You can also go to my website, realtalkkim.com. I've got incredible prophetic wear, game changer, hell shaker, God's girl, hope dealer, all kinds of be different merchandise today just for you. So you can wear it until you believe it. All right. I love you guys. Go get my book too, Shut Hell Up, Beautifully Broken, Beautifully Whole When Your Bad Meets Is Good, on my website at realtalkkim.com. I love you guys so much, and I will talk to you next week. I believe in you. I can't wait to hear testimonies of the decisions that you make that are going to change your tomorrow. Love you guys so much. Thank you for sharing this and giving me a 5-star review. Love you guys. Bye. Oh, get in my mentorship program. Go to realtalkkim.com, go to the connect button, and connect with me in my mentorship program, RTK Inner Circle. It will change your life. I love you guys. Bye.